again. I've never seen her before in my life. Great. Right. What's the point in all this attention if you can't abuse it? Right. Okay. Right. The manicure. Jackie opened the salon door and slid through in one movement, walking briskly past the unattended reception desk to perch on the edge of the pink leather bucket seat in front of the window. She fitted her fingers tightly under her knees and only then allowed herself to look around. A middle-aged woman was already sitting in the corner, alternately licking her thumb and flicking absently through the pages of Hello. Jackie scanned the titles of the other magazines spread over the low white table in front of her. She almost picked up the latest Marie Claire, but drew back with a quick glance at the other woman. The decor was very sparse. Aside from the chairs and table and the glass reception desk, there was no other furniture on the lacquered floor. A showy gilt mirror hung on the back wall between the two pine doors. There was nothing much for her to look at apart from the other woman and her petulant thumb. Jackie twisted her left wrist so she could see her watch. She looked around anxiously. It was 5 minutes after her appointed time and the glass desk was still minus the receptionist. Jackie knew she could have asked the other woman, but she didn't want to attract attention. It was the receptionist who'd encouraged her with her friendly smile, although she couldn't have known how much Jackie had needed that encouragement, as Jackie had looked wistfully at the price list in the window. The girl had opened the door and stretched out a copy of the price list folded into a pale pink leaflet. She had a voice to match her smile, genuine and slightly off-kilter. "We do beauty and health," she said. "Pedicures, hair removal, Botox, if you can paint it on or pull it out, this is the place." She grinned. "Why not take a leaflet, miss? You can have a look at home, and if you take a fancy to any of the treatments, you can give me a bell, and I'll tell you more about it. My name's Leslie. The telephone number's on the front page, see?" She pointed to the bottom line with a neat square nail, buffed to a healthy sheen and tipped with whitener. Without thinking, Jackie'd begun to reach for it, but then her courage failed her and she had fled, stammering out that she'd noted the number already. In fact, she had memorised it 2 weeks before when the idea of a manicure had first come up. Philip had suggested something like it in their sessions. A 30th birthday present to herself, he said, but only if she was sure she was ready. Being honest, she didn't think she would ever be ready, but surely it would be better to face whatever might happen than to carry on living half a life. She'd found Philip on the internet 6 months ago after looking up life coaches, picking him only because he lived near enough for her to walk to his house. When he'd realised that was her game, he switched their appointments to his office in town, so she had to get the bus. He was good at that, pushing her into making changes, upsetting the patterns that had helped her to hide herself away for so long. But now that she was sitting there, in the hot seat as it were, she wasn't feeling so brave. She shifted in her seat again, forcing her fingers further under her knees. You never knew how people might react. Working out a series of movements over the years, she'd developed a habit of slipping her hands into the folds of her clothes, keeping her fingers together, pointing downwards. An absence is not so easy to see. The hand is quicker than the eye. She'd not understood how different she was until she reached infant school. Even then, once the first couple of days of questions had passed, the other children had just got used to it, barely commenting on the odd way she held her pencil or ate her crisps. Until the day that Mrs. Adanta had stopped one of the boys eating in class and, seeing it was a plum, had laughed and recited that poem. Little Jack Horner sat in the corner eating Christmas pie. She'd got as far as, he put in his thumb and brought out a plum, and then suddenly stopped and looked at Jackie, aghast. Every child in the class had turned to stare at Jackie's hands, at the smooth, straight line from wrist to index fingers. There was a horrible silence, and from that moment on, if any of the other children wanted to raise a laugh, they need only start, "Little Jackie Horner," and someone would giggle, and Jackie would pretend she saw the joke too. Things had got slightly better when she went to senior school, but there were so many possible slip-ups, giving thumbs up, rule of thumb, thumbing your nose, and the worst one, all thumbs. Every time it happened, the culprit would react like Mrs. Siddhanta, freezing in mid-sentence and then turning towards Jackie, aghast. The look in their eyes would change from guilt to embarrassment and pity, and she had grown to hate it. It would almost have been better if they'd just laughed at her. She tried to talk to her mother, wanting to know if there was an operation she could have, but her mother's answer was always the same. "However God made you is how he expects you to be." She had left school as soon as she could and refused to go to college. If it hadn't been for the internet, she didn't know what she would have done. She had studied computer science and web design online and found that it helped her to hide away, making a living managing websites for people who were busy with their real lives. The door to the left of the mirror opened, bringing Jackie back to reality with a start. She looked up in a mixture of hope and trepidation, but it wasn't the cheery receptionist. Instead, it was a slightly built Chinese girl with a pinched face who scanned her eyes over the two potential customers like an auctioneer looking at cattle stock. "Mrs. Elder?" she asked, leaving the question hanging. The middle-aged woman stood up with a frosty "at last." The Chinese girl paused, her eyes narrowing for a moment, then glinting. "Colonic irrigation, isn't it?" she said, flicking the wristband of her rubber glove. The older woman's lips set in a line as she passed through the wooden door, and the girl closed it firmly behind her. Jackie had asked Philip to help her find gloves with false thumbs fitted into them, but he had just laughed, gently, and asked what she'd do in summer. "Besides," he said, "people aren't as observant as you think." Gradually, Philip had edged her away from talking about what she couldn't do and onto other subjects, such as what kind of job she would like to have. "Suspend your disbelief," he'd said. She'd never let herself think of having a proper job. Watching a programme one afternoon about how to be successful in interviews, she switched off after the presenter said, "Try not to talk with your hands." Jackie's hands didn't talk. They cried. "It's all to do with your state of mind," Philip had said. "The way you see yourself is the way others will see you. If you want them not to mind, you have to learn not to mind yourself." Thinking of his words, Jackie lifted her hands in front of her face and waggled her fingers. She had nice long fingers with graceful joints. Everything she had done previously had been avoiding the issue. Lately, she'd been trying to deal with it in a different way, holding her credit card between two fingers, giving the assistants a broad smile to distract them from looking too closely. She scanned the magazines on the table in front of her. How to drive a man wild in bed. She couldn't even imagine holding hands. She blushed at her own thoughts and replaced her hands under her knees. "You can do anything," Philip would say. "There's no such word as can't. Try replacing it with won't. You'll see, there's a big difference between the two." Jackie forced her hands onto her knees and looked at them. Maybe it was fate that no one had come to get her. She moved her fingers up onto the arms of the chair, twisting her index fingers to the side to give her a grip on the leather as she stood up. But she jumped as the door to the right opened and she pulled her hands guiltily behind her back. A woman with steely blonde hair appeared, looking harassed. "Jackie Mendelssohn?" she asked. Before Jackie could deny it, the woman continued, "I'm sorry we kept you waiting, but we're a bit understaffed today." She gave a quick smile, which looked more out of habit than intention. She was holding the door open, and behind her, Jackie could see a small pink room. The wall was decorated with posters of beautiful, perfect hands. "I thought it would be the dark-haired girl," Jackie said, a note of desperation creeping into her voice. "She gave me the leaflet, and it was her I spoke to on the phone." "Who, Leslie? No, dear. She's had to go to the cash and carry on account of the junior going sick." The woman held the door wide. "Come on then, I don't want to hurry you, but I've another appointment at 1:30. This wasn't quite the experience that Jackie had envisaged. She'd thought they'd be obsequious and call her madam and ask if she had plans for the weekend. These women were scary. Jackie felt like going sick herself, but she didn't want to have to tell Philip she'd failed. Another of his sayings came into her head. "Being you is both the most difficult and the easiest thing that you can do. And once you start, you won't be able to stop." Trying not to think too much, she took another deep breath and walked past the woman into the room, avoiding looking at the picture-perfect hands, her fingers flicking in the folds of her skirt. The woman indicated a pink stool by a curved table laden with bowls and bottles. Jackie sat and automatically folded her fingers under her arms. The woman started filling a bowl with water from the sink, asking over her shoulder, "Is it the deluxe?" "No," Jackie's voice came out in a bit of a squeak. She took a deep breath. "It's the natural-looking French manicure." "You can still have a French manicure with the deluxe, and it's only an extra £4, the woman said, sitting down opposite and setting the bowl on the table. "You'd get a full hand massage that goes up to your elbows. It's very relaxing." It didn't sound very relaxing. Jackie shook her head, curling her fingers into fists under her elbows. The woman sat down behind the small table, reaching under it for some cotton wool balls. And she poured some pink liquid into the bowl. "Don't you want to take your jacket off?" Jackie shook her head again, and the woman shrugged. "Well, let's be having you then," she said, wiggling her fingers over the table, beckoning to Jackie's hands to come out of hiding. Slowly, Jackie lifted her arms, and with a sickening wrench in her stomach, she unfurled her fingers and laid them flat on the table. The woman looked down in puzzlement at the narrow hands, with no thumbs to disturb the symmetrical line from elbow to fingertip. She bent her head a little to one side, and then the other, and then she looked up at Jackie's face again, and then back down to the fingers. "Oh," she said. They sat like that for a moment too long, and then Jackie heard herself speak. "I thought I might get 20% off." The woman looked up at her in momentary disbelief. One corner of her mouth twitched. She lifted up Jackie's fingers with her own. "No chance," she said. "But I'll do you a free upgrade to the deluxe," and started pushing Jackie's sleeves up beyond her elbows. Jackie watched in fascination as the woman massaged exfoliator onto her hands and arms, moving easily in practiced strokes. "So," the woman said, "you got any plans for the weekend?"